Now let's talk about the Father adopting. In Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, we read this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, He, the Father, predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ." Here's another passage on it. 1 John 3, 1. I love this one, don't you? "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." Here's another one. Romans 8, 15 through 17. "You have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." So over and over we see that we've been adopted by the Father. Galatians 4, 4 to 6. "God sent forth His Son so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Remember, we talked about inseparable operations. In this passage, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the Father and the Son and the Spirit all having a distinctive role in our adoption. The Father planned our adoption. The Son redeemed us so as to secure our adoption. The Father adopted us, and the indwelling Holy Spirit assures us of our adoption. The question might come up, well, what does that make Jesus? You might have noticed during the song, there's one part when He says, "Son, go get your children." And there's another place where He says, "Come home, my children." Both attributed to the Father. Now, don't let me mess the song up for you. I love this song. It is a great song. I cranked it up because I like it. So don't misunderstand. But what I am trying to say is that sometimes, you know, we're not sure about this. I remember praying one time with someone, and this is how he addressed his prayers, "Father Jesus." Well, Jesus is not the Father, and we have trouble with that sometimes. Here's Hebrews 2:11, and it's kind of a complicated verse. I used a more modern translation just to smooth it out for us for looking at as a group. "Jesus makes people holy." This is Hebrews 2:11. "Jesus makes people holy, and those who are made holy are from the same family, and He is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters." Look at this one, Romans 8:29. "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." And we just saw in Romans 8 that we are fellow heirs or joint heirs with Christ, depending on your translation. The Son receives the inheritance, and we're joint heirs with Him. So God the Father is our Father. And there's no point in praying Father Jesus. There's no point in thinking of it in those terms. The Father has really aggressively reached out to us, and so often I find Christians haven't really thought about that. And I find it helpful to just look over some of these passages, and you see, Jesus is like an elder brother. Now, I mean, we're not like buds with Jesus. He is the elder brother, but we are joint heirs with Jesus. And we have been adopted, and He is the firstborn, and not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, because that's what the Bible says. Now let's talk about the Father hearing our prayers. The Father hearing our prayers. Praying to the Father. For example, in Ephesians 3:14, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." In Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." And it's the Father Jesus is assuming that we're going to pray to. In Matthew 6:9, "Pray then in this way, Our Father which art in heaven." Prayers in the New Testament don't begin, "Dear Jesus." A member of my church told me about one time they just put in an intercom into school or something, and so they called down to this room. They were looking for a student, and so they called into the room and said, "So-and-so, are you in there?" And the answer came back, "Yes, Lord Jesus." Well, the child didn't know. Jesus prayed to the Father. Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. The apostles prayed to the Father. And here's an interesting thing that He said in John 16, verses 26 and 27. Jesus is talking about our access to the Father, and He says, "In that day you will ask in My name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. for the Father himself loves you. Meaning, you can ask him yourself. That we have access through the Son and by the Spirit to the Father. You can go ask your Father yourself, is what Jesus is saying. Now, why do we address our prayers to the Father? Because the Father is the person of the Trinity who is the source, the one who plans. The Father makes things happen. So we pray through Jesus in His name, charging it to His account. I worked for a man when I was in college, and he would send me to buy gas for the car. I would go to the gas station. He said, just sign my name on the slip. I thought that just seems really weird. Sign his name on the slip. I would do that because we were charging it on his account in his name. I would not have had the funds to put as much gas as would go into that big car, but he did. And so we were charging it in his name on his account. When I go to the Father, I don't have the godly merits to say, Father, you owe me one. But I pray and ask the Father to charge it to Jesus' account. I pray in His name. And He's got all the merits we need. And then we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Ephesians 3, it says, praying in the Spirit. We should be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit as He leads us and prompts us and guides us and empowers us and gives us words. So we pray to the Father. If prayer isn't to the Father, then what's the point of this intercession we read about? For example, in Hebrews 7:25, it says, He, that is Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. So the Son makes intercession with the Father. Here's Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Been there?
Yes.
And the next part just sounds really sweet after you think about that. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
Absolutely.
So we have all this intercession, but who is the Son and who is the Spirit interceding with? The Father. So we're praying to the Father. Sometimes we need the intercessory assistance of Son and Spirit, but we're praying to the Father. Many might ask, but is it wrong to pray to the Son or to the Spirit? After all, the Son and the Spirit are co-equal with the Father. Each person is truly God. The Trinity is one God. So is it okay to pray to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm just going to tell you right up front. If you call to the wrong person, the Trinity, the answer is not going to come back in. I'm sorry, you have reached the wrong party. Please hold and we will correct you to the correct person of the Trinity. That's not going to happen to you. But we're trying to live as Christians. We're trying to follow the Word of God, and we want to get it right. There are times when the Scriptures where some prayers are addressed to Jesus. Here's Acts 7:59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he's had a vision seeing Jesus in heaven, standing up to receive Him. He called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You got to say, this is a little bit iffy to be put in a classification of a prayer when he's having a vision, right? That's not normally what we think about in our daily devotional prayer life. I don't know, maybe you have more visions in your morning devotionals than I do. But he's certainly addressing the Lord, and the Lord is certainly in heaven. So he is talking to Jesus. Here's 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. O Lord, come, or Maranatha, depending on your translation. And again, he's asking the Lord to come on back. Here's 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul has his thorn in the flesh and he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. And then here's Revelation 22:20. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Those are all prayers addressed to Jesus. Are they okay? Here's the insight I want to give on that. This is my considered understanding. We are in a situation where we have the opportunity to share our faith with a friend and we quietly ask the Holy Spirit to give us the words or to work in that person's heart. Would that be okay? Well, of course, because that's the mission of the Holy Spirit. All right? We're in a planning meeting at church and we ask Jesus, the head of the church, to make His plan known to build His church because He is the one who said, I will build my church. Would that be okay? Yeah, because it's related to His mission. But the Father's mission is to plan and to send, to initiate the divine activity of God. And so that's why I think our prayers are generally addressed to the Father. the Father ruling in His kingdom. This is something, until I was studying this subject matter, I picked up on just reading verses, and it kind of stood out to me. The kingdom of the Father. Now, the kingdom is spoken of in two ways. First is, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It's the Father's kingdom. And it says so in plain words. Jesus told us to pray that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's Matthew 13, 43. He talks about the end when He makes everything right and rights the wrongs and heals the hurts, and He will. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And notice how He says that. The kingdom of their Father. Their Father. Not just the Father, their Father. It just has this wonderful ring to it, doesn't it? But we also see the kingdom described as the Son's kingdom. Here's Luke 1:33. The angel's telling Mary what's about to come down and said, He will have the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. And notice this time it's described as the Son's kingdom. Here's Matthew 13:41-42. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom, the Son of Man's kingdom, all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. Notice, this time again, it's the Son's kingdom. How do you reconcile those two? And again, I would take you to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 and 25. Then comes the end, when the Son delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. In other words, when He has accomplished His redemptive mission as Messiah, His redemptive mission as Messiah, at that point, when all the kingdom work has been accomplished, all the enemies of the kingdom have been destroyed, the Son says, Father, the work is finished, and here is your kingdom. Let's talk about the Father correcting His children. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 13, we're going to look at just verse 9 here, but you need to read the whole section. And it quotes some Old Testament passages. And sometimes those will say, the Lord, when it's really translating the sacred name of God, and that's usually speaking of the Father. But he says in verse 9, besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? God is the Father of all spirits. He is the source, His creator, the ultimate one who initiated creation. And He is the Father of spirits, and He is the one disciplining us. And we should be subject to Him just as we were to our earthly fathers, those of us who weren't total rebels in that period. And He says, the Father is working in us. He says, you're not even adopted in the family if the Lord doesn't discipline you. I mean, have you ever been through Walmart and seen a child just behaving terribly and thought, oh, I would love to take this one on right now? But you didn't, and the reason you didn't was that wasn't your child. In God's kingdom, He doesn't spank the devil's children, just His own. It says in this passage, He is dealing with you as sons. He is dealing with you as His children. Shouldn't we just be subject to it? Don't let it beat you down, and don't ignore it and take it lightly. Be subject to the Father, because He is shaping us to be holy according to His good plan. And so we see the Father active in our life. The thing I have continually tried to address when I've spoken of the Father in these sessions has been that the Father is involved. He is reaching out to us. He is interested in us. He is not a distant Father, an uninvolved Father. But He is the one who is initiating this activity to work in our lives. And we need to understand that this is our Father. Now, we have an opportunity here briefly for questions, comments, and smart aleck remarks.
What you just illustrated is a perfect example of the relationship with our earthly Father to the children, the way it should be. When you say they love them, they discipline, they work with them, they want to be with them, they want to walk with them. And that's what it is on earth. That's the example we have from our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, that's a good thing to remember. He didn't just get a report like once a month, you know, have a look at that. You know, I mean, he's involved every day. We need to realize he is involved every single day, all the time, 24/7.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes?
And this is back to Jesus, when you were talking about where the plan was for him to come from the very beginning. And when we were given the different scriptures, I don't remember, I came in late even tonight, if you used in Revelation where it talks about he was slain before, I forget exactly the way it...
Chapter 13, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jesus was the plan even before earth was created.
Yes. Yes. All right. Thank you. Good comments. Well, all right. Sheila's going to pass out some sheets at this time, and we're going to close with some worship, scripture-based worship. But I want us to address what we're looking over this minute to God, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because theology should lead to doxology. Read with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to your great mercy, you have caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus, you are declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. You are the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on the earth. The Father has highly exalted you, and your name is above every name. Spirit who gives life, Spirit of holiness, you are the Lord who is the Spirit. It is you who shows us the glory of the Lord Jesus and transforms us into His image. You are the Spirit of glory and of God. Triune God, I praise the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And amen.